Thank you. I have a friend that I'm going to see in a few days' time, at the New Year time, and he always says that every service should have a Charles Wesley hymn in it. It seems a twinning that every service should have a Graham Kendrick and the previous one. So there we are. They're contemporaries, and they are indeed. They've written some wonderful words and hymns for us to sing. I've been very busy over the past 4 weeks, going around with the choir to sing at old folks' homes. It's been a great joy. I love singing Christmas carols. It's a great shame, I think, that we only sing them for such a short time. I might have told you before, but I have a friend back in Kent who, once he, 1st of December comes, he gets his CDs out, for his carol CDs, and he plays them till Easter. And yeah, so if you go around and visit him Easter, you know, any time up to Easter, you get carols. And I can understand it, you know, because there's some beautiful carols, aren't there, that we sing. And so with the thought in mind, you'll see from my message that I'm sort of talking about the Christmas story as a whole. And I thought, well, what do we have as a reading? And the one reading that we have not used as a choir is Matthew 2 and the visit of the Magi. Now, I know that this was about 2 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus, but I thought this morning, just to sort of cap the story off, we could read that, because I do refer to the Magi in my message. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Just flashed through my mind, that's the second appearance of the angel, isn't it, to give notice of what people should do. Remember Joseph at the start. And as I was thinking about this, what I should speak about this morning, I was thinking around the story, and I've given already two messages, as we always do an epilogue when we go out. And I want to do something different this morning. I was praying about it. And, you know, the thing that's come across to me this year is the fact that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as I said in a prayer, to think that God allowed his one and only Son to come down to this scene of time. And you know, we during this year of 2016, we've seen the sinfulness, the total degradation of men's hearts. No wonder, you know, when we read our Bibles and we skip over the word sin, don't we, so often. And yet, when we see some of the things that have been perpetrated this year, and the number of people who've lost their lives unnecessarily, we realise what an awful world it is, sin-wise, people in it. And yet, it's a wonderful world, isn't it? We've just come through the autumn, haven't we? And it's been amazing this year when we've seen the colours. Various people have said to me, you know, I don't remember an autumn like this, because it's been so wonderful. And that's God's creation. And yet, he sent into this world, he sent his Son to be our Saviour. And so it was that, you know, when we think who God is and who we are, and the gap that's between us, as it were, God, holy, almighty, the Creator God, the one who loves each and every one of us. And we don't deserve it, do we? And yet when we look at the story, the Christmas story, we see that God's ways are not our ways. And that's what's come across to me. And, the, you know, just to sort of hang my thoughts around something of a text, I was taken to that verse, those verses in Corinthians. I typed them out on here, but I'll read them from the Bible so I get them absolutely right in case I've made a mistake. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says in verse 27, chapter 1, verse 27, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." And so it is that we've got to think about this morning.
Sorry, I have to go home. I'm sick.
Do you? Have you got a key?
Yeah.
So, the Christmas story is so well known to us, isn't it? You know, we celebrated it from when we were children. And so it is that we've... It's something that comes around year by year to us as Christians. And we enjoy it. And yet there are people around who don't see in the Christmas story what we see. You know, they think it's about the Christmas lights, the tinsel, the presents. So many people go into tremendous debt over Christmas time in order that they might, enjoy Christmas and provide for their families and so on. And so it's so well known to us, but have we ever stopped to think about the remarkably ordinary people who played such an extraordinary part in carrying out God's plan of salvation? And that's what I really want us to think about just for a few minutes this morning, over 2,000 years ago. And the first one is the shepherds. As I say, with the choir, it seems that the pieces that we have been singing this year, because we've had problems in our choir this year. We've had one man die on us, and we've had another man who's very old now and no longer with us, and our leader has been out of action for 6 months. So we, you know, Christmas program was in the balance as to whether we did it. So what we've done things a little bit different this year. We've not sung so many pieces ourselves, and we've invited the old folks to whom we've been going out to come along and to sing with us. And we've bought large print Bethlehem carol sheets, and they've enjoyed it. But the thing that's come to me over this is that so many of our carols are about the shepherds. And yet, the shepherds, they are poor and often despised men. They were the lowest of the low in Jewish society. They were reckoned to be untrustworthy people. Many of them were thieves. They lived by their wits, and they were a marginalized people. And yet in the Christmas story, we see that they're highly honored. And God chose these very ordinary men to be the first to hear and tell of the wonderful news of the birth of Jesus. Luke 2, I think it's verses 8 to 20. That narrative as to when the angels came, and they were pitch dark. You know, we live in a village where there's not many lights, and you can perhaps get a better understanding of it. As suddenly they were in the fields, there was no light about them, and suddenly this burst of light as this angel came in and told them what was happening in Bethlehem. And so it was that they came in. And so what was the significance? Well, Jesus, as we know from Matthew, was a descendant of David, who was an ordinary, humble shepherd originally, and as a boy in Bethlehem before he became an extraordinary king. David is, we know that, I've got his name, I know, but you know, he's always been a really a favourite character of mine in the Bible. And the thing that I love about David is that, you know, he did such wonderful things, and God really rated him, didn't he? And yet he did some awful things. We think about where he sent a man, he committed adultery with a man's wife, and then in order to cover it up, he sent him off to battle and put him in a position where he would be killed. And you think, well, what kind of a man would do that? But he was a man who repented. And so it was that he was a great man. And that's the beautiful thing in the Bible, isn't it? That, you know, if we write in a book, we tend to want to glorify the good things about a person. If we're writing a biography, an autobiography, or a biography rather, you know, we try to bring out all the good points about the person. But, you know, in the scriptures, we get the good with the bad, don't we? And so it was that David, he was indeed an extraordinary king. And indeed, the Lord Jesus, he was of the line of David, but he was the good shepherd as well. And so there's this this twin thought that we get through the scripture. And how fitting was it that the news announced to the shepherds that the birth should take place in a stable where the shepherds would not feel out of place. They would be very happy amongst the animals, wouldn't they? And, you know, when you think about it, if they were men who were living out in the fields, they probably didn't smell too good either. I remember I used to walk down from London Bridge to the college in the morning. And often I used to walk past a street sweeper. And he was a nice chap. He used to, you know, say good morning to me and to other people. But, you know, if you got bit near to him on the windward side, you know, you sort of wanted to get past quickly, because he obviously didn't change his clothes. He had his uniform that he had on, and he probably never took it home to get it washed, and so he smelt a bit ripe, you know. And maybe it was the sort of thing that might have been the case with the shepherds. And so it's just a thought. But there they were. They didn't feel out of place. And they were unlearned men as well. They were not academics. But they were convinced of what they'd seen. And, you know, the one thing that has always been something that's an encouragement to me is that you can't take away experience, can you, from someone? I've worked with, I'd say, working in academia, you know, you got the high flyers, the philosophers and all these sort of characters who, you know, think that the Bible is a book that it's just for people who really have no great understanding and that. And I've worked with some of these people. And, you know, I've said to one or two of them when I've been sort of talking about Christian things, and I said, well, maybe you can't see it, but you know, you can't take away from me my experience. And it's so true, isn't it, that we have this experience, and so it can't be taken away. And you know, you don't need to have a degree to recognize who the Lord Jesus is. Salvation, the wonderful thing that God has done is he's made salvation simple and straightforward. You know, we sometimes say, don't we, when we're talking to the children, it's as simple as ABC. We acknowledge that we're sinners, we believe that Jesus died to save us, and we confess our sins. What could be simpler? And yet, how many people at this Christmas time, you know, people will go to the likes of the Abbey and some of the higher churches because they think, well, it's the thing to do at Christmas, isn't it? You know, I remember going to the midnight service the first year we came here at the Abbey. Freezing cold it was, and I was nearly choked with all the smoke that they were pushing around. But you couldn't move in there. It was absolutely stacked out with people. I'd like to think they were all Christians, but I wonder. But that's what it is, isn't it? And so the eyes of the world are on great people, aren't they? We produce magazines with all these people in, you know, the Posh and Becks and all these sort of people who people love to idolise and love to read about. And but you know, the eyes of God are upon us all, and they were certainly on those shepherds. And and so that was the shepherds. But you know, there was another person, and he sometimes gets overlooked, doesn't he? Because he wasn't the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph, the carpenter. He would be a little bit, I imagine, in the village, a bit of a jack of all trades. You know, he would make the furniture and so on, but if there were problems in people's homes, he'd probably get called out to fix things up for them. A skilled handyman, probably. A practical man, like some of us. I was going to say many of us, but certainly some of us who enjoy doing those sort of things. And he was the one to whom God appeared, didn't he? The angel appeared. And he was a just man. And he was going to break off his relationship with Mary because he didn't want a disgrace. I mean, these days it seems to me that people seem to have their children before they get married, and nobody bats an eyelid, or many people don't anyway. But you know, in those days it was something that was not the done thing. And so he wanted to do the right thing, but the angel told him, don't do that. You're to name the child. Give him the name of Jesus, Saviour, Emmanuel, God with us. And so this was the man who in some ways is insignificant in the story. But there it is. But then of course we've got Mary. And of course she was the ordinary young lady, teenager, I believe, I don't know, but she was certainly, when we read in that incident in Luke 1, unprepared for what God was going to ask her to do. And so she was from an ordinary family, and she probably imagined the shame of what was going to happen to her. But you know, she accepted what God asked her to do. And she said to the Lord, didn't she? She said that, let it be, whatever you want me to do, I am prepared to do it. And she was obviously a wonderful young lady for God to have chosen her to be the vehicle through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world. And so, You know, we need to be people, don't we? We mightn't have all the academic qualifications that, you know, people expect us to have in these days. But, you know, the important thing is that we are open to God's will and God's leading and guiding. And I just feel at this Christmas time that we need to be those people who are open to what God wants us to do as we looking to 2017. Another year. Where's this year gone? It seems to have gone faster than ever. You know, I can't believe that we're 18th of December today. It didn't seem very long since we were just entering into the year. And all the things that have happened, good and bad. But there we are. So Mary and Joseph, they were obedient in spite of all the difficulties that lay ahead of them. And yet, they were compliant, weren't they? Mary, as I've already said to the Lord, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And I just feel as we go into next year, that we, you know, we keep praying that we want to see people coming into chapel. We want to see people coming to know the Lord in these difficult days in which we live. And yet, you know, we need to be those who are compliant and, like Mary, prepared, seeking the Lord to lead us in wherever he wants us and how he wants us to do it. And as I say, he said to Joseph, didn't he, not to be afraid to take Mary for his wife. And we see what happened. He took Mary as his wife, and the Lord Jesus was born. And there we have it. And so, God's ways are not our ways. You see, the religious elite as well, they were totally ignorant of the event that was happening. That verse, those two verses I read, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that none may boast before him." And you know, if we learn nothing, again, as we, you know, Christmas time is a time when perhaps we can perhaps feel, oh, well, we know the Christmas story. We've been through it year after year after year. And yet, there's always something that comes out from the Christmas story. And so, God said in Isaiah, didn't he, through the lips of Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And let's be open to the leading of the Lord as we go through this Christmas time, and God willing, as we enter into a new year. And finally, the royal family. Yes, I was, as I was putting the closing thoughts to my message, I thought of what we read, the wise men, the magi. They came, didn't they, about something like about 2 years later. They'd seen the star, they'd followed the star, they were astronomers, and they were looking for this thing to happen. I don't think they were sure what it was, but they came and they asked the question, didn't they? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Now, where would you go looking for a king? You'd look in a palace, wouldn't you? So that was naturally where they went. And as I said in one of my messages last weekend, I think it was, you know, that when you think about the kings that have been, we've seen the pictures this morning of people in the past and so on. None of them were born kings or queens. They were born princesses. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born king. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so they came and they asked, "Where was he born? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And what was Herod's reply? It says, "When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Naturally, he was disturbed because he didn't know a thing about it. And somebody born a king? He was very worried. And so the Magi, or the wise men, they were asked by the king to go and make a careful search of Jerusalem, of Bethlehem rather, for the child. So that, he said, that I too may go and worship him. Now we know from reading our Bibles and that, and what he did, killing all those young boys under the age of two. He did not intend to go and worship him. But you see, God's ways are not our ways, are they? And so these three wise men, or however many there were, we don't know, they went off with their gifts to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and when they found him, they worshipped him, and they presented their gifts of gold, incense and myrrh. We've been singing about these things in our carols this morning. And again, God's ways are past finding out. And God appeared to them again in a dream. And he said, when you go back, don't go back to Jerusalem. Go home a different route. And so it was that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was saved. Because, of course, he'd come into the world that he might bring eternal life to us. That he might grow up as a boy and into manhood and give his life as a ransom for us. And so it is that when we think about the Christmas story at this time, if we think of it from a natural viewpoint, really, it's almost unbelievable the things that happened. And yet, amazingly, when we realise that it was planned by God, we have a great and almighty and wonderful God who planned this salvation for us. So, my final thought, let us learn from it this Christmas, and be that if we're prepared to be obedient to God's will for our lives and act upon his calling, who knows what he can do in the future. We keep praying about things, and that's so, and so we should. But we're looking to see, we're rejoicing, as Tom's been reminding us this morning, of all these young people coming in. But wouldn't it be great if we saw some of the parents in here on a Sunday morning? Because that's what we want to see. So as we enjoy Christmas time, both family wise and as a wider family in the fellowship, and as we enjoy Christmas, other things, should we say, the natural things about Christmas, let's still be before the Lord seeking his will for us as we enter into 2017. So let's just close with our final song, In the Bleak Midwinter. Now I asked Tom to have this one for our last one. And what number is it, Tom? It's I've got it here. Yeah. 243. It was the last verse that, and you know, I think this is a beautiful carol, but it's the last word, the verse that always really sort of hits me. What can I give him? Poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. And this is it. Yet what I can, I give him. Give my heart. Now I know this morning that, you know, we've all put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we fully surrendered to him? Are there things in our lives, are there things in my life that perhaps could be improved in a sense with the Lord? So let's, as we sing that, let's really think about those words of the last verse. Thank you.